flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
I kind of said it once, and then I was like, well, I'm going to have to steer into the slide on that one.
As an old, sometimes I don't know when the new things happen, and I need a little help, you know.
Smash that like button, bros.
Bro.
Hey, we should go on over to Columbia, South Carolina for a second. Via the phone line, of course. I'm not going anywhere. The club horn sounds at 8 a.m. on Thursdays when we are joined by a young lady who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is the lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the broadcast. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Hey, before we go, we do a text line poll question every day, Lulu Kestens, and normally it is sports related. Today it's not, so we'll ask you, do you have a morning routine? I do not. My morning is absolute chaos. It's a different pattern every day. My wife has a very calm, relaxing AM regimen. She gets up, she makes herself a cup of coffee, she goes on the couch, gets under the big furry blanket with the doggo, does her war games. Lonzo is super regimented. Like, he's up, he's got minute by minute breakdown of what he's doing. Do you have a morning routine that when the alarm goes off in the AM, you're like, this is what we got to do, this is how we knock it out?
No, I wish I did. Honestly, my boyfriend also wakes up and like plays his like mini crossword games and like all his like word games and everything like that. Like, I kind of just wake up and have coffee. Honestly, I really wish that I had more of a routine, but my excuse is that journalism, it's really hard to have a consistent schedule because no day looks the same. So I feel like when I try to create somewhat of a routine, the next day I want to like sleep in to get a game really late the night before. But, you know, I should probably do something before just sitting and drinking coffee, but it's working for me so far.
I'm 100% stealing that answer. I can't have a routine because life in broadcasting is chaos and it's different every day. Why build a routine in the AM when I have no idea what's going to happen before I walk out of the door?
You don't care about her routine. We're calling her and interrupting, you know, her morning and routine.
In fairness, we are her routine.
I guess it could be on Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show. All right, Lulu Kesson, let's get into some sports. We will follow the normal formula and start over with the football program. I know we're kind of at a quiet point right now. The national championship game in the rearview mirror. The next big milestone on the horizon is National Signing Day, of course, which doesn't necessarily carry the weight that it used to, at least not to fans back in the day. But do you have anything for us out of the landscape of South Carolina college football?
Yesterday, I wrote a story which I thought was, or maybe 2 days ago, that I thought was kind of interesting. Granted, I wasn't working for the paper at this time last year, so I didn't fully know what the expectations were, like, number-wise. But basically, it was just kind of looking at, like, all the early rankings. You know, I don't buy into that. I'm not saying that they matter. But I was kind of intrigued at, I guess, how high some people had South Carolina. I think On3 thinks South Carolina is going to be, like, number 8 in the country next season, or, like, could finish. ESPN thinks they could finish number 10. Like, I think a lot of people really believe in the youth of the program and players like Lenora Sellers, Maisie O'Bennett, Dylan Stewart, and they're returning a lot of players. And so I think it's good that the outside is focusing on, you know, what they have and what they've gained in the portal rather than what they're losing, because I think it's very easy to get kind of get consumed and swallowed by conversations about what is lost, when naturally, like, every sports team at some point has to lose players at some time. So South Carolina isn't unique in the sense they're losing some key players on defense. So I'm very curious to kind of see how that outside, honestly, praise affects the team come, you know, even spring ball, but especially like summer training camp and everything like that.
I've seen the same thing. I've seen a lot of way too early top 25s, a lot of way too early preseason polls. We've still got recruiting classes to get in, spring football to go through, et cetera, before I think we really even start to have a clue about what next year's teams are going to look like. But you know what you can do is put your bets down on who wins the Natty next year, and South Carolina is. And to me, Lulu Kesson, I will, at this point in the year, I will take Vegas odds before I take the words of journalists, many of whom have a bias because they are writing, but they cover a particular school. South Carolina has 40-1 odds to win the Natty next year, but there's only about 20 schools with better odds than that right now. So Vegas has them inside the top 20. My question mark is, Shane, I think, enters this year with the highest expectations of any season since he's taken over the program. Do you feel like he slash the program slash his staff are prepared for the heightened expectations and the pressure that comes along with it?
I'd argue that he and his staff are. I definitely agree with you in the sense that it's his, I mean, year five, I think, is even different than year four. It's like, he already passed Spurrier for best record in your first four seasons as head coach. Like, he's done what he needed to do through 4 years. Now it's that kind of, in my book, like, you can't go down. You can't go back to where you were in 2022. You know, there's going to be growing pains no matter what. Every year is going to be a little bit different. But I think based on kind of how vocal he was advocating for his players in this program, he's starting to earn the respect from the outside. And I don't think he has any kind of, I don't think he can say now, like, oh, nobody's taking us seriously. I think, like, South Carolina is exactly where they want to be, in my opinion. And so I think it'll be a true test. Right now, I would say that they're ready. But of course, when you look at the games that they lost last year, you wonder kind of factors on the outside, you know, off the field, things like that. You kind of wonder if, you know, when they lost College Game Day, a game day game, like, they weren't necessarily kind of the underdog. They had the spotlight on them. Obviously, the Citrus Bowl loss was super disappointing because they had all that talk about making the playoffs. So there's kind of a you know, it's easy to look at last year as the blueprint, but I'm also hopeful that Shane learns from the bad and grows, but also takes the good with him and is ready for what's to come in 2025.
We are talking to Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News, covers the South Carolina Gamecocks, and joins us every Thursday here at 8 a.m. on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. As far as getting prepared for 2025, and I know, like I said, right now, kind of a quiet point of the season as far as football goes, but other than being dialed in on recruiting, other than being dialed in on focusing on national championship week? Is there anything else that Shane and the guys are setting up for the 2025 season, which, of course, being January 23rd, Lulu will be here before we know it?
Yeah, well, I can say that on Saturday during the men's basketball game, Shane will be introducing, like, the transfers and, I believe, like, the freshmen. I want to get that right. But basically, obviously, I didn't know this because I wasn't here for basketball season last year, but I guess Shane likes to kind of involve some of the football players with the basketball and the fans and everything, like, ahead of time. So I think at halftime of the men's game on Saturday, which is at 1, obviously it's home in Colonial Life, Shane will bring out the some of the new players and either, like, speak or just do something to kind of, like, put faces to names and things like that.
One of the things that I think we have spent a lot of time talking about, Lulu Kessin, is Shane Beamer is, if nothing else, a fantastic culture builder. I mean, he has been, at least in my experience, since the moment he stepped on campus. We've had him on this show. It is all about personality and building the culture. The welcome home stuff. I mean, he, within 6 months, had a huge banner flying on the side of Willie B. The dude, I think, deserves kudos for being one of the best culture builders. And to me, that kind of feels like a part of it, right? Like, if you can get transfer portal guys on campus, freshmen incoming on campus, and put them in front of a packed gym and have them feel like rock stars before they put on the logo for the very first time, that's the kind of stuff. I say all the time, you got to recruit a kid twice, right? You got to recruit them once out of high school to get them there. You got to recruit them a second time to keep them there. When you make these kids feel like rock stars before they ever strap on a chin strap, I imagine that kind of goes a long way in that department.
100%. And when I had my one-on-one interview with Shane, that's kind of what I took away from a lot of it and kind of wrote my story about, is the culture that he wants to build. I mean, one of my favorite anecdotes, like, he has maybe about 3 massive glass jars of candy in his office. And I'm not talking like big mason jars, like massive, massive, massive glass jars, like ones you would see at like the most souped up Sweet 16 ever. And I asked him, I was like, oh, like, you a big candy guy? And he's like, no, like, the players love it. And I love that it gives them an excuse to come into my office. And even if it's 5 seconds that I see them, it's 5 extra seconds that I get to see them off the field. And it's sort of become like a vehicle for very personal conversations with him and his players, because they feel comfortable enough being in his office, being in that environment, being in that space. And they come for, you know, a Snickers, they come sit to hang out and grab a piece of gum, and then that turns into them having a personal conversation about their life or their family or anything like that. And I think that goes a long way, especially in 2025 and the financial aspects of college football today and NIL and recruiting and everything, is that you can't just be a coach. You have to show how much you care. And I think to just say you care is not enough at this point. And I'd really argue that Shane has done more than enough to prove that he does genuinely care about building a culture here, and everything that he's done with the program kind of speaks for itself in that regard.
Lonzo, none of our bosses have big barrels of candy. I feel cheated.
Yeah, it's probably be a bad idea.
Yeah. That's also fair. That's
the
also
bosses fair. Don't want us in.
Yeah, we'd be crashing out at like 11:15 in the morning. Lulu Kessin joining us here on the show. All right, let's flip it over, Lulu, and talk a little bit of college basketball. Let's talk about the women's side. I don't think there's a bigger story to get into than the extension of Dawn Staley. I saw her during the men's game with the big hat on the sideline, getting absolutely, I don't know if the kids still say this or not, crunk at some of the throwdowns, standing up, hyping up the boys. Like, this woman is fantastic. I love everything about her. I love watching her coach. I love watching her just love basketball, and you can tell she does. There have been talks over the last couple of years about, will Dawn Staley go coach in the WNBA? Will Dawn Staley go coach a men's college basketball team and become the first women's coach on the men's side in D1? Yada, yada, yada. For the Lady Gamecocks to be able to hang on to, arguably, and I think she will pass Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt as the most iconic women's basketball coach of all time, maybe the most iconic basketball coach of all time, period. What a massive moment to get her inked up.
Totally. And first, oh my gosh, I was dying laughing at her massive hat last night. Like, I wasn't at the game, so I was watching hockey, and then I had the game on my second, like, I put my second TV out here, and I was just like, oh my God, that's Dawn. Like, she was, like, swallowed by the hat at first, and then when they showed a close-up of her face, I couldn't keep it together. But to take her seriously now, absolutely. I think the contract, like she said, it's not about the money, but it's about the principle of it. Like, yes, it speaks volumes for where women's basketball is going. It says so much about how South Carolina respects women's athletics, Dawn Staley, what she's done and what she'll do. You know, a lot of people are kind of, at first, were freaking out about the WNBA, NBA part of her contract, and I don't blame them. It's a unique thing to see in a contract that if she were to leave for another college program, of course she would have to, you know, before her contract, and she would owe South Carolina money, but if she were to leave for the WNBA or NBA, she wouldn't. So I think that kind of put a lot of people, you know, in panic mode, thinking that she's already kind of lining up her next steps. And I believe her when she told us, when she was asked about it, like, well, she was like, that's just something fancy in there for reporters to ask me about. But I do think she isn't in a rush to leave. I mean, she said casually and she said formally so many times, like, college basketball is where she's comfortable. College basketball is where she's at. And now she seemingly has, I mean, she put it out there, she doesn't want to go anywhere else in the college world besides staying at South Carolina. So, you know, I think people are a little worried with talks of a WNBA team coming to Philly, but I don't think anyone has to think about that anytime soon, because like you said, she's sticking around, and this is very, very historic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, if she ever decides that she wants to go try her hand at the WNBA, number one, I think Dawn Staley, like, I don't know, and I say this with all due respect, and it's more of a compliment than anything else. I don't know if she would bring maybe the eyeballs that a Caitlin Clark has brought to that league, but I absolutely think she would be a massive, massive benefit to the WNBA. And if she decided to go, I think if anybody has ever earned the opportunity to go try to do bigger and bigger, better, it is Dawn Staley. Now, with that being said, before we let you go, Lulu Kessin, there is a rivalry game in the SEC that gets me more and more hyped every year, because if there's anything we like more in the women's game than Kim Mulkey versus Dawn Staley, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of worried with the game being pushed from tonight to tomorrow. But, I mean, if anything, I see their point. It was an 8 p.m. tip, and now it's a 5 p.m. tip. But, hey, LSU South Carolina, like, I have a hard time believing that's still not going to bring out the best of the best in terms of fans and energy. Because, like you said, it's a rivalry like no other. It's kind of an in-game experience like no other. It's two passionate coaches battling with two incredibly talented teams this year, and I think tomorrow night is going to be a really, really great game, especially just for the SEC and women's basketball.
Without a doubt. Give me a 30-second preview on what you expect to see out of this one, because I will tell you, I don't know what else I would do on a Friday night but sit in front of the TV and watch this one.
Okay, I'll try to talk as fast as I can. Basically, you know, I think a key to the game is going to be recognizing the fact that last year when South Carolina played LSU, LSU crumbled late in the fourth quarter both times. However, this season, LSU, one, they're undefeated, but two, they've trailed at halftime, trailed in the fourth quarter numerous times, and they have 6 wins by less than 4 points. They have a game winner where they won by 2. They have a game where they won by 1. Like, LSU is not the same team as they were last year in the sense of kind of like not being able to have that late game push, or, you know, they had a lot of late game mismanagement. So I think South Carolina, if they go on runs, if they have a lead, it's going to be absolutely critical to understand that LSU this year is going to be able to claw back and will look to fight back, and is not going to kind of get defeated by a deficit in the way that, you know, I'd argue we saw Texas or Oklahoma do, because LSU has some talented, talented scorers. They rebound the ball. They're the second best rebounding team in the nation. South Carolina, I think, is 8. So it's truly two teams that couldn't be more perfect for each other matchup-wise. So it's going to be great.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Young lady, we appreciate it. As always, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great weekend.
Any and every time. Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News, by the way. she did an interview on SECNet after the game, and she's still wearing the big hat at like 10:45 at night. Love Dawn Staley.
I was going to say, you're talking about Dawn Staley, not Lulu.
Yeah, well, not Lulu. She might now. Dawn's an influencer. We might all be Team Big Hat now. I don't know. We'll see. Back after this, Rob Brown Show, Fan Upstate.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show rolling on. It is the Fan Upstate. Thanks to Lulu Kessin, as always, for joining us at the 8 o'clock mark on Thursdays. Ordinarily, we would follow that up with Rashad Beard in the next segment of the radio broadcast, but Rashad a bit under the weather, as the old expression goes. So we will have Rashad join us tomorrow, theoretically, at 8:40. I told him if he ain't up to it, he ain't up to it. It ain't no big deal.
Hey, there's some stuff going around. We know that.
Oh, yeah,
so
for
a
sure.
A lot of people out in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Including, just everywhere.
So we will see. Theoretically, hopefully, we will have Rashad Beard joining us tomorrow on the show to talk Carolina Panther football, but not today. We will get to some other stuff later on. I want to, you know what we can do here? Because we don't have Rashad? And go Audio Blitz. Let's go Audio Blitz. Let's get some of the best audio that we have heard over the past couple of days. I'm going to start with this one that we have lined up. Ben Johnson has been hired as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Da Bears. Of course, he's going to be tasked with the growth and development of one Caleb Williams, last year's number one overall selection for the Bears. Go in there, get this young man firing on all cylinders, eh? Don't let the downfall of Matt Eberflus stick on Caleb Williams like I believe it's stuck on Justin Fields.
You nailed the Eberflus, by the way. Good job.
Eberflus. I hope the Bears got their Eberflus shot. That's a joke, see, because it's Eberflus, Flus season. It's a good joke. Good joke. Dan Orlovsky was talking about why he believes that'll be a successful hire. And why not? My bad. I agree with that. Let me tell you what I think I see in a lot of rookie quarterbacks. And I think to some degree, this was even a little bit true about Bryce Young, though less so than in Caleb Williams. And honestly, I'll tell you who I'm really concerned about it with. Both of the top two quarterbacks in next year's draft, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. One of the problems that you're going to bump into, especially in the new immediate success or get the hell out landscape of college football, a lot of guys, especially if you are not playing for a blue blood, right? And with respect to Deion, Colorado ain't exactly reached blue blood status. Real good year. Finished in the top 25 in the AP's final poll of the season. Snuck back in there at the end. A lot of young quarterbacks succeed in college due to their natural talent. They just out-athlete people. And when they get to the league, they can't do that. And there are some NFL coaches who do two things. Number one, they think they can rely on that out of an NFL quarterback, number one. And number two, they don't take that talent and develop it. They try to take that talent and throw it away to try to develop some other aspect of that player's game. I go back to, again, Bryce Young in year one under Frank Reich of the Carolina Panthers. I think they tried to change the way that BY plays football. This is why I said a lot of times in year one of BY9, this is not Alabama Bryce Young. And I kept saying to all of you, as the only Bryce Young optimist, I think, in the upstate of South Carolina, I kept saying, slow your roll, homies, because BY was not successful at Alabama because he was a Michael Vick, because he was a natural, impossible-to-tackle runner. He wasn't successful at Alabama because of his size or his stature, obviously. He was successful at Alabama because he is a hyper-intelligent football player, and you have to put around him a scheme that takes advantage of that. You should be running a more high-mentality, cerebral offense around Bryce Young so that his best asset, the noggin, is what shines. And then you start letting him take over with that incredible accuracy. This is why I've said the comp for Bryce Young, and I mean it when I say it, the comp for Bryce Young is Drew Brees, okay? Undersized quarterback, but a guy who is known for two things. Number one, seeing the football field as well, if not better than anybody else. And number two, being able to put the point of a football on a dime from 35 yards away. That's BY's game. And in year number one of Frank Reich, what'd they run? A very traditional West Coast-y pro-style offense that was more about hitting a route at a point and not about, hey, we got this guy who sees the field. We got this guy who understands route patterns and how to assume or find what's going to be open based on his ability to see, read, and understand defenses on the fly. Dave Canales shows up. He installs that offense. And what do you know it, Bryce Young, in the second half of the season after the benching, do you know that Bryce Young was successful for more high explosive plays that are plays of 35 yards or longer that are credited to a quarterback throw, not a receiver making a great play, right? If you go say, and there is some room for subjectivity in there, but if you go count plays of 35 yards or longer down the field that are made based on a quarterback's throw, not by a receiver doing something special, that is, you are hitting the guy in stride in the bucket. Bryce Young was responsible for more of those types of throws than Patrick Mahomes, than Josh Allen, than Lamar Jackson, than Joe Burrow. That's the type of guy he can be. But it takes a coach who can do two things. Number one, bring that out of him at the NFL level. And number two, work in an offense that takes advantage of the weapons. Why has Lamar Jackson been so successful at the NFL? It is because Harbaugh numero dos recognized we don't want to run this cat as if he is Michael Vick. Lamar Jackson's legs work as such a weapon and an asset to the Ravens because the Ravens understand you utilize them sparingly as the primary asset. You use an underappreciated arm as the primary asset. Look at Lamar Jackson. What'd they do? They built him in a good set of wide receivers, and they run him sparingly. And Lamar Jackson is consistently in the picture. Hadn't got there yet, but consistently in the picture. Dave Canales brought that out of BY. Ben Johnson did that for Jared Goff. The Lions offense was the Lions offense because Johnson tailored it for Jared Goff, not the other way around. If he does that for Caleb Williams, I think that guy's going to have a Bryce Young trajectory. All right, we'll come back. We got some more sound I want to play for you coming up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Two.
I gave you a layup yesterday. You gave it right back. So it's 2-1.
It is only Thursday.
It is only Thursday. Got a full day. You blew it last Friday. You had the lead, and then you blew it last Friday.
I did.
Late in the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the comeback happens again this week in the Robinzo forget to turn their mics on to, you know, talk into them to do radio game that we play. All right. Got a couple of things to get to here. Text message poll question of the day. 1 hour left to get your vote in. Now, it's not really a vote today, right? Like, ordinarily, our text poll of the day is a vote. Ordinarily, our text poll of the day is, what team do you want to win this weekend? Do you believe that there should be a this or a that in sports? Yada, yada, yada. Not today. Not today. Lonzo and I have gone away from sports on the text message question of the day. My morning, every morning, chaos. Chaos. I get in. I have a different routine every single day. I do different things in different orders, whatever. And I just cross fingers, toes, and all available appendages that I don't forget something. And I do frequently. All right. And I know I should do better, but I can't. I'm not wired that way. Lonzo, on the other hand, has a minute to minute regimented process that he goes in every day. I can pretty much set my clock by the minute Lonzo walks into the door. All right. Like, it's regimented down to the minute. I also have a lady in my neighborhood who goes out for a jog, as far as I can tell, at 4 a.m. every morning. And I can say for a fact that she jogs for at least an hour and a half, because I've seen her leaving at 4 a.m. and I've seen her going at 5:30 on my worst mornings. So our question is, do you have a morning routine? And I have three selections for you. Like me, it's just chaos in the a.m. Text no to 844-326-3663. Text no. If you have a routine like Lonzo, where you're up and you're regimented, you're active, maybe not working out, you're not hitting the bench press, you're not going for a jog in the a.m., but you're up and you got your probably minute by minute, you know I got to turn the toaster on over here and check my emails over here and whatever, then text calm. No, excuse me, text active.
Yeah, because if I were to jog where I'm at, it would be more like, oh my God, what's chasing me? Which would, you know, help with the cardio.
It would.
As long as you don't get caught. Yeah.
So if you're up and working out, or maybe you are the type of person who gets up and you just get your day started on the fly, you're active, you're running around, whatever, text active to 844-326-3663. Or if you like my wife gets up. She walks to the kitchen. She puts on a cup of coffee. She's got one of the little Keurig pod ones, so she doesn't have to brew coffee, right? Walks in. She said it's got the thing in it where you set it to, you know, make the hot coffee or make the hot water at 7 and at 7:50, whatever. She gets up. She makes her coffee. She takes her cup of coffee over to the couch. She sits on the couch. She covers herself up with a big old fluffy Sherpa blanket. She hangs out with the dog and she plays word games for about 20, 25 minutes, and then she gets her day going. If that's you, text calm. 2844-326-3663. Text one of those three options. If you do not have a morning routine, you are a Rob Brown. Text no to 844-326-3663. If you're like Lonzo, you got it down to the minute. You're moving, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're going. Text active to 844-326-3663. And if you're like the wife, you have your morning routine, but it's relaxing. You sit down, you have a coffee, maybe you read the paper, read the funnies. Get your sports news from the day before. Maybe you click on ESPN and you just watch SportsCenter for half an hour, whatever. If that's you, text calm, CALM to 864-448-3772. You got about an hour to respond to our poll message of the day. And this has zero impact or benefit to the upstate. It is simply for my own curiosity. That's all and nothing else. Let's keep going with the audio blitz. I have a few more bits of sound that I want to play for you. I referenced this earlier. I didn't know if I was going to play it or not, but I might as well. You know what I never want to hear again? Ever again? What I never want to hear ever again is when people complain about officiating calls in Kansas City Chiefs games. I never want to hear fans of that team say, stop whining. They're penalties. It happens in football. Stop whining. That's how it goes. Did you turn? You cut my audio, Alonzo? Why'd you cut my audio? I have a clip ready to go. It's in the barrel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can see the slider. It's right there. You cut my audio for no good reason at all.
Mr. Science Guy, it's called a fader, okay?
And what did you use it to do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cut my audio. All right, it's back. Here is Patrick Mahomes after the Chiefs lost their last game to the Buffalo Bills. That was Patrick Mahomes.
All right, so you're inaccurate, and I hate when you're inaccurate, but I'm going to have to correct you. That was not the last game against Buffalo, because the last game against Buffalo, Buffalo destroyed Kansas City.
No, it was,
and that was this season.
Which one was that? Was that regular season last year?
Yeah, it was last year or maybe the year before.
Yeah, whatever.
It was last time they lost to the Bills. So, of course, this like kills your entire argument because you were inaccurate in your setup. So we should disregard and move on.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Here's what we'll do. I'm going to finish what I was saying, and then those of you who wish to disregard it, you have Lonzo's blessing to do so. Okay? So I'm going to say what I'll say, then disregard it. Never again do I want to hear a Chiefs fan tell other fans, get over it. Calls happen, because that was Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, that first part, the where he's kind of all faint in the distance, but you hear him say, worst bleeping call I've ever seen. He was quite literally dapping up Josh Allen, and he said that to Josh Allen. You want to know why I'm a Lamar guy? Because the Baltimore Ravens could argue they got screwed against the Bills this past weekend. And I actually would hear that argument. Even as a Josh Allen guy, I'd hear that argument. I could make it. I could hear it. You know what Lamar said? He walked over to Josh Allen and said, congratulations, go win something. Go win the MVP, go win the Super Bowl, go win something. I want you to be great. Now, respect that. The last time Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes walked up to him and grabbed him by the hand, did the old bro shake, and looked him in the face and said, worst bleeping call I've ever heard.
It wasn't, again, not the last time that they played each other.
Last time that Josh Allen won.
No, it's not, because Josh Allen just won in this season. And they beat, the only loss Kansas City had this year was to the Buffalo Bills, and it was by a large margin, and that was not from that game.
Okay, point is, whenever it happened,
I just want you to be accurate, man.
I appreciate
accurate. I get, you know, when your super secret society sends you stuff, maybe read it when you get it and not read it, a year later, because then you could be a little more accurate on what you're talking about.
I couldn't find undoctored audio of it because everyone I heard, in fact, I did pull one, but then I realized that somebody put the X-Files theme behind it.
I'm curious.
You know who else is in our secret super secret society? Rich Eisen is in it.
That's awesome. Anyway, do you remember the call? Was it a good or a bad call?
If I recall correctly, because no, I don't, because I hadn't thought about that call in a very long time.
So maybe it was legitimate, his complaint.
If I recall correctly.
You don't even remember what year it was. No. There's no way you're going to remember.
If I recall correctly via what I saw this morning when I was looking this up, it was a call in which... it was an off... I want to say it was either false start or it was offsides against the Chiefs, and it was a good call, but it was just like one that had not been called throughout the game.
Yeah,
I don't think they called it at the end.
I don't remember the call, but I don't think it's either one of the things that you're talking about.
Doesn't matter. Point is,
it does matter. It's very important to the story.
Point is, I don't want to hear about whining after calls impacting games anymore. I
think the witness has crumbled under cross examination, and we should move on.
Plead the fifth. All right. Got two more clips for you before we get out of here. There is a Parisian soccer team in top-level French football. The soccer team's French name is Stade Brestois. Stade Brestois.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna take your word for it.
There is a EPL today is a European English British show, soccer show. It's effectively Good Morning Football for football, right? For soccer, for the other side of the pond. Well, in the Champions League, Stade Brestois had a pretty good run going early. And Thierry Henry, who's on this show, along with a cat by the name of Micah Richards, who was on the show, a couple of weeks ago had a fun little interaction where they were talking about the incredible performance and their expectations on Stade Brestois.